Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl. One of those gals that is personally offended by the Kylie Jenner Timothy Chalamet relationship?
I am confused.
You're confused?
I'm not offended. I am confused though.
There are a lot of women, literary types, tote bag carrying types.
Guns down, Beatrice.
types. who have taken it personally that a man who looks like a sick Victorian orphan Parisian twink would go for Kylie Jenner, like a typical kind of like base level, like hot girl.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that this, you know, is neither here nor there for me, and I've been talking about this all week, so I'm sorry to any of my friends out there who listen, because I'm...
Listen to you.
Listen to me, because I'm repeating this. But I think we've got to let this furor go. Talk mm-hmm. about guns down. We've got to put the guns down. My theory is that Timothée Chalamet, between his college football knowledge and his obsession with Lil B, Bass God, and rap music in general, is a frat boy in a little Parisian art twink's body.
Oh my God.
And he
Oh my God.
He's going to go for the hottest girl that you would find in a sorority on the planet.
Yeah.
The baby mama of one of his favorite rappers. And it's just as simple as that. Yeah. It's nothing personal. He went the Lily Rose Depp route. It's just a coincidence that he can speak French. He didn't choose this life. He didn't choose this body.
That's so true. And we assume a lot.
And you know what that does?
I know what it does.
You know what that does?
Makes an ass out of you and me.
You don't want to be an ass.
No.
And she's got enough ass for all of us.
It's true. We don't need to add to it, do we?
No.
It is true, though, that we assume. Like, sometimes I think girls will be nice because they're pretty. And that's not always right. Like, do you know that there's a very specific type where it's like a sweet-looking blonde girl?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what would you have to be angry about? And then I'm hearing them talk or in public. I recently overheard a conversation at a table of girls. And I went, oh my God.
Vicious.
All of you hate each other.
No.
All of you hate each other. It was like every comment was slightly cutting and slightly condescending.
Do go on.
Where it was like one of them was talking about like, oh yeah, like I think me and Adam are going to do this. And another one asked, do you think you guys are going to fight? Like when you go there, do you think you'll fight? Like, are you going to have like a quarrel this weekend?
Oh,
on
wow.
your trip, do you think? And she was Fishing. Like, I don't think so. No. I don't think that we are. Why? She's like, oh, nothing. I just like have noticed that you guys have, you know, been sort of at each other's throats recently.
That is tough.
And everything was like that, though. It was like there was never a breath. There was never a like, oh, okay, well. But we love each other, don't we?
Yeah. I have a friend who had a remarkable ability to turn everything into that. Like I remember FaceTiming Chris and he said, do you FaceTime Chris because you think he's doing something? You think he's up to something? And I was like, I didn't, but now I do.
Yeah.
Now I fear he might be.
I know.
I went on a blind date this week, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was set up by a friend with a gay man.
Yeah.
And in walked one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen. Like, I was, like, sitting there waiting patiently at this coffee shop, expecting a tiny, bald man to walk in. And this guy came in and goes, Beatrice? Australian, of course, hot, square-jawed, you know, luscious, wavy, blonde hair. And I was very taken aback.
Oh, my God.
I didn't really know what to do with it. Stephen, if you're listening, I was...
Wow. That's happened to me only a couple of times. You know what's so crazy is that I got actually flustered. It's happened a couple of times where someone's appearance actually flusters you. Like, you're like... You get like tongue-tied speaking to them. And the most recent was the most shocking because it was a man with face tattoos.
No.
Yeah.
You got tongue-tied.
And I mean, he was beautiful without them. But something about like the whole look. And I was like, uh-oh. oh my God,
what's happening?
What's happening? What's going on? Yeah. What's going on here?
Do you know who had a profound effect on me? Mm. Is G-Eazy.
Yeah, and I am also affected by G-Eazy. I saw him recently.
You saw him recently?
Yes, at Barney's Beanery. At Barney's Beanery.
And you were affected?
I was at a table with coworkers. We're drinking disgusting mixed drinks.
Okay, and can you set the scene? How recently was this?
This was probably 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
It's a weeknight, so okay. Not crazy in there, but still very busy, very hot, lot of bodies.
What is this man doing at Bunny's Beanery?
I don't know, on like a Wednesday night.
Okay.
I can't say, but we were all sitting there, everyone chit-chatting. Someone leans over and goes, I think that's G-Eazy. And another of my coworkers was like, no, absolutely not.
Slicks back hair. Did he have his classic do?
Yes, yeah, he looked like G-Eazy.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Perfect.
And then and then it wasn't until he walked right past our table that we could really verify it was him. And then he walked out of Barney's Beanery and we were at a table that's sort of like window side. And then he turned around to look at us. Certainly because I think we were staring at him, but also because I do think he was checking out one of my more beautiful coworkers. She was like,
oh. I think I heard a harrowing story about G-Eazy.
Really?
This week.
Oh my God.
And it really took me back because I interviewed him and I want to say it was like 2018. I went and got a haircut with him for a story.
Did you get your haircut too?
No, I just sat there next to him as he got his haircut at the barber, which was actually a very intimate experience. He was very vulnerable. You know, anyone's vulnerable when they sit there with that cape on, looking at themselves in overhead lighting, just thinking, wow, I look like a slug in this mirror.
Yeah.
You know, you've never looked worse than when you have that cape on in that seat.
Yeah.
But he was stunning and it shook me. And usually, and you know me, don't get carried away very often.
No.
It's just, and I make a point of it.
Yeah.
I go all the other way just to, you know, not give them the satisfaction.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling something. And this was while he was with Halsey. So I was like, you know,
obviously
arms crossed.
Yeah.
Nothing can happen here.
we love to talk
like
this.
Something could happen. A friend of a friend of a friend was like ran into him and had a boyfriend of a year and met G-Eazy, you know, on a whim and dumped her boyfriend.
Oh my God.
Dumped her boyfriend after spending one day with him. And they did not move forward past that day. In fact, they went out on a group date after that. She was like, oh, like come out with me and my friends. And he ended up leaving with one of her friends.
Oh no.
Yes. Oh, leaving the group date with another, because it was a group hang, of course.
Yeah.
You know, no harm, no foul. Everyone's friends here.
Yeah.
She left her boyfriend.
And then he left her.
Exactly right.
God damn it.
God damn it.
That's so tough. I haven't been in a group of single people in so long. Like, do you know when you would be running through the streets, all a group of like young single people?
Do you remember that vague sense of competition?
Yes, of course. Also, that the possibility that someone even within the group may find each other on a given night. And it happened.
I remember very distinctly having multiple men that I was talking to descend on the same bar. And it was the worst time of my life because they knew and I felt like the biggest hoe.
Oh no.
Actually, do you know, this leads me to my inspiration.
Oh my God, please share.
Do you know what I did last night?
What?
I was with two of my closest friends and they, on the television screen share, put everyone they'd slept with on the TV.
Oh my God.
Everyone they'd slept with, they kept running lists. One was very up to date. One was just everyone of all time.
Yeah.
One had stopped around, you know, a few years back, but very specific. I'm talking white guy from Raya. I'm talking...
Oh, names or descriptions?
Names and descriptions.
Wow.
Some.
Oh, so you can like put face to name.
Yes. Well, some...
Huh?
So hers were just mostly descriptions mixed with some names. His were names plus an identifier. So it would be like Marcus Chef from the Silver Lake area.
Wow.
Or it would be like David Terrible Penis. And then he had a rating next to all of them.
A rating?
A rating. I'm telling you, some of them had threes, twos.
Oof.
Bad. When I saw a 10, I just about squealed.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. Yeah.
What was his job?
Chef.
I knew it.
Did you know that?
I did know that.
How did you know that?
They're just, they're
that built different.
They're wild.
I mean, they're not good today, but no. They're good in the bed, aren't they?
Yeah. And they can cook.
Like I know.
Yeah. Like I know. That's all we do here. We get up here and we lie.
What's the most consistent profession that you feel like you've bedded?
Artists, just like musicians.
That's so sexy of you. That's probably like your biggest claim to fame.
It's just what happened.
I was going to say unemployed.
That's the profession that you've let into your precious, your temple.
Like
your
temple. They were like, oh my God, I feel like such a slut. Like, look at all these people on here. And I was like, I couldn't create this list.
Yeah.
Like, you could put a gun to my head.
Yeah.
And I would not be able to give you these names.
No.
Could not conjure them.
So interesting. Also, think about how many people are out there that, like, the profession they've most bedded is, like, finance guy. That it's, like, they have a name. They have a type. They're trying to do something here.
Yeah. That going for someone who like yeah. has an MBA.
Has an MBA. Yeah. Has like family money.
Whoa.
And how you and I.
I'm going purely off looks. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm pure, eternally yeah. shallow.
Yeah. Us just insisting we make our own way in the world.
I've got with a lot of this. I mean, of course I ended up in podcasting. I've dated a lot of guys in radio. Like
really?
More than you would think. Yeah.
Really?
I think I like a talker. I've always liked a guy that's center of attention.
Yeah.
Which I hate about myself. Do you want to know my worst story?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell this. I'm going to tell a bad
tell all,
story.
Tell all. I don't know.
It's quite bad.
It's bad. In what way?
In kind of every way. Oof. Oh, if this gets bad. Okay, I'm going to tell it.
You're
going to
tell it?
I'm
going to tell it. Is it possible that this person might listen?
It might get back to him. It's okay. I won't. And no identifiers.
It might get back to them.
It might get back to them. But I was very young. I was very young. All I will say is this person was in radio, but I won't give any further identifiers.
Great.
But when I was very young and I was like sexually active, but not really. Like I wasn't having sex. It was like a weird time for me, whatever.
Yeah.
I went on a date with this guy who was maybe a decade older than me. I was 20. And we went out, good date, got quite drunk. He was like, okay, come back to my house. Get this to listen to the XX album on vinyl.
Oh my God, I had it on vinyl.
He said, you have to hear it on vinyl. There's nothing like vinyl.
Of course.
I think I wanted to hear Crystallized. We had to get to the song Crystallized. So we're making out. And I remember that I was wearing high-waisted belted jeans because those things are like a vice.
Yeah.
They're difficult to come off. You're not getting them off without some serious work.
Yeah,
you're
some shimmying.
Yeah, you're really putting it in. And these were skinny jeans times.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was.
That's, I mean, my college days were all American Apparel high-waisted skinny jeans.
Absolutely.
Two sizes too small also. Like, or, I like could not breathe when I sat down.
Or American Apparel like Jodhpurs or like disco pants. Yeah, all of them. Yeah. I still have my Jodhpurs. I love them. You do? Yeah, I love them. I wear them all the time. So we're making out and I don't know, my eyes were closed, you know, as you do.
You try and relax for once, trying to release control for once.
And I open them and I look up and he's nude. He's in the nude. And it's such a shock to me. I'm like, when did this happen? What is going on? This is crazy. You're completely nude.
Yeah.
I do not know when it happened or how.
Oh, I see.
And I was like, this is so crazy. I'm fully dressed. The XX is playing and you're nude? So what? I made an excuse and I got out of there.
What was your excuse?
I think I said, I have work in the morning. I've like got to go. I've like, got,
yeah.
I got to get up
G2G.
And go. But that was radio. And I think that is very radio. Do you know
very
what I mean?
Very radio. Very radio.
I just don't think television would get nude.
No. No. They're more aware of their physical form than that.
I think
they are.
I think they would stay in like a very sexy little pantalone.
Yeah.
They would stay in like a little like skinny little.
At like, least like a Calvin Klein.
Like a tidy whitey.
Yeah. A little tidy whitey.
Television would stay in a tidy whitey.
Yeah. Yeah.
God knows what print media would do.
I mean.
They'd be in a full suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tie would not even be loosened.
A newsman?
Oh.
No.
No one's seeing that soft, white, pale physique.
No.
Actually, speaking of Timothée Chalamet, I was on a diatribe with my new friend, Steven, about the physique. It was very soft.
Did you notice the nails?
Yeah.
The nails were tough on me. The long nails were tough on me.
But I was like looking at Timothée and I was like, you are my age now. Like you are 30 And that is
he's
a very
30?
He's 29. He's 29.
Oh my God.
And I was like, that is a, like, you get to a point in your later 20s where you're like, if I don't start to take care of myself,
yeah,
things are going to go out the window.
Yeah.
Like, I need to.
Like, the health will plummet.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm going to enter a new decade.
Yeah.
And if routines aren't set in now, it's all going to go tits up.
That's so true.
And it's like,
I need to do a routine.
No, stop. But I'm like, you know, you have to have a little bit of muscle. You have to have something.
Yeah.
And he was
no
very sickly.
I know, not really a stitch of muscle there. I wonder what he's going to look like in his older age. Is he going to, he could do like an Adrian Brody thing.
He could,
you know,
but like he is someone who had the who has the capacity or has the potential to go Adam Brody.
Yes. Totally. I have my inspiration.
Okay. Tell me.
I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith this week.
Okay.
My inspiration is the chemistry in that movie is the most insane thing I've ever experienced.
I think this is very relevant considering all last week we just talked about Blake Lively and Jessica Baldoni's chemistry. So yeah. I think you're hot off the press.
And I think that's maybe what made me want to go back to a movie where I was like, I was thinking about chemistry. I was thinking about like, you know, performances that are really memorable. Do you think that Jennifer Aniston has ever watched that movie?
Oh, that is a brilliant question. Yes, I think she probably has.
You think?
Now? Ooh.
Or did she watch it like then, right when it premiered and then?
She went to the premiere. It depends on the timeline of when they were breaking up, I feel.
Yeah.
They had to have been breaking up like at some point.
It is insane.
It's off the charts.
It's off the charts. And yeah. Even the scenes, like not the scenes where they're touching, it's the scenes that they're looking at each other like from across a huge table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, that is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in any film.
Yeah. It's crazy. And he looks amazing.
He's a lot older than her there.
Really?
She's 28. I think he's 40.
She's 28
yeah,
in
I
that?
I know.
Oh my
Don't
God.
Don't think about it. Don't
we
think about
are
it.
Toddlers toddling.
I know.
That's a woman. That's a woman.
I know.
Fuck. It's like the Keira Knightley 17 all over again. I'm just
don't
never meeting
make
the standards.
Me think about that. Do you know what brought me like a lot of peace and joy about that? Is Keira Knightley telling a story that her like 5-year-old daughter or something was watching her in Pirates of the Caribbean and said, "You're too pretty. It's annoying." And I was like, if your daughter is triggered by you,
it wasn't safe to put that movie out.
Yeah. They should have cut around you. They should have got FX in there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Jennifer Aniston, do you know that The Morning Show is the most expensive show on Apple TV, like including like all the insane, like high budget explosion, everything because of the beauty VFX.
Are you kidding me?
No, because it is.
I thought you were going to say just to pay like Billy Crudup and fucking Reese Witherspoon.
No, it is because every frame needs to be airbrushed for both Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. That's why they look like non-people in the movie. They
Are
look
you
like AI.
Kidding?
Every frame is like touched, retouched.
You're joking me
the,
right now.
The amount is something like I need to find some facts and figures here. Let me see.
Morning. You're bringing new information to the table right now. I've never heard of this.
And it's like it's so expensive. I need to find it. It costs like thousands of dollars per minute. Like every minute that they are applying VFX, which like other VFX is like flames, like huge like flaming buildings. That's VFX. Or you can use it to like airbrush crow's feet away.
Jennifer Aniston is looking,
yeah,
kind of bizarre.
I know.
She needs to go to the Demi Moore school of makeover.
I know. Well, my mom is actually, when this comes out, my mom will have had it. Is getting, not a nose job, she's getting her deviated septum fixed. But she, of course, met with a plastic surgeon that was like, "You want me to do a little something? You want me to, the eyes? They're right next to the nose." Like offering her blepharoplasty.
Oh my God.
And like something to fix the bump. And she was like, "Please, like while you're under, you might as well."
And?
She's not going to do it.
Oh my God, I would do it all.
I know.
I'd be like,
I'm like, you're already under.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
She's not going to do anything?
No, she's not going to do anything. I was God. Like, she, because I guess her deviated, her septum is so bad that it's going to take like quite a lot of recovery. So she's going to be in a lot of pain. And she's like, if I like can't see and smell, I was like, I mean, beauty is pain.
Think of the outcome.
Think of how gorgeous you'll be.
Speaking of
someone
gorgeous.
Who's gorgeous.
Oh
gorgeous and young.
God.
Ooh, God, she's young.
God, she is young. What, 23? Be real with me. Because I know she must be 24. I interviewed her when she was 20.
She was born in 2000. She's 24.
Yeah.
October 6th, Libra,
of course.
Of course.
Of course. Has there ever been a more Libra to ever Libra?
No, no, really, truly, no.
It's actually crazy there aren't more celebrities who are Libras.
Yeah.
There's really only Kim K that I can think of off the top of my head. Famous, famous Libras.
Halsey, the woman see, whose man you almost stole. Cardi B.
See,
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Do you know what I mean?
But yeah.
These are kind no, of like, I know. It's not like hitting home the way like a Leo
Bella Hadid.
Home. Yeah.
Bella Hadid is okay, a beautiful Libra.
Yeah, that's a big, yeah, that's yeah. a big one.
Hilary Duff, beautiful Libra. Kate Winslet.
That's just not hitting for me the way a Sagittarius hits or a Leo hits.
No, no, where you're like, obviously.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about Addison Rae. And this profile came out very, very recently. Very recently.
What's her real name again?
Her real name? Addison. Oh, God. I keep looking up Addison Rae, and that's not what I'm trying to find, but I keep mistyping it.
God, that sounds like
yeah,
something else entirely. Easterling, right?
Easterling. Addison Rae Easterling. She has 88 million followers.
On TikTok?
On TikTok.
Okay.
88 million followers. Think about that. 88 million people.
I can't think about it.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
And she is sort of like the queen of TikTok. I can speak from personal experience that she struck me. I remember finding her. And I remember going, what is it about this girl?
On TikTok?
Yes. And I remember being like, there is just something about her that I like to watch. Like I got spoon fed like all the others.
I didn't even know she had this many on Instagram. 34 million.
34 million.
Yeah. That shocks me.
Yeah.
Because I interviewed Emma Chamberlain this week and she is 14. And I thought that was like quite a lot.
Wow. I mean, it is a lot.
Yeah. But 34 is a lot.
A lot. A lot. That's insane.
And to be like self-made. Actually, Emma had a really funny quote where she called herself self-nepo when she was describing like going into the
oh my god
into the film business. Like she was like, because I've had another career in the entertainment industry, she was like, I have like a leg up. So yeah. But she was like, but because my parents are nobodies, but I
yeah, had like a previous prior career. Me did this for
yeah,
me.
Yeah. So she's like, I am self-nepo.
My ancestors. Me 3 years ago.
I was like, that's so real.
Yeah.
Because she's getting privilege, obviously.
Yeah, certainly. From her previous. Being treated differently than like a random Emma off the street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Self-nepo.
Self-nepo. I mean, Addison has it too. And Addison, she wants to go all the way. She does.
There's, I don't think, ever been anyone more ambitious.
Yeah. And who is... Which I really love, actually. I find it really refreshing when someone is just like, I want it all.
Shamelessly.
I want the music career. I want to be an actress. I want to do everything. It's sort of lovely.
It's really like she lays it all out there.
Yeah.
She won't. Yeah. She's not hiding any of it.
No. And I feel there's so often these interviews. We've done other ones where it's like, you know, a young artist at a similar juncture that's doing the like, I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful. And then when asked about like any future aspirations, they go like, maybe one day, I don't know.
When
like
they
have
never.
When they have a full plan, like a full rollout and an agent hired.
The amount of interviewees who've looked me dead in the eyes and said, never say never.
So this profile, the headline is, Addison Rae took over TikTok. Now she's coming for pop. She became a social media superstar thanks to killer dance moves and an overflow of Southern charm. Can she reinvent herself as a pop supernova and earn respect along the way? Brittany Spanos finds out. And I love Brittany Spanos.
We love her.
My God.
We've done her recently, right?
Yeah, we have. She knows how to write a story. I mean, my Lord. And she's profiled like some very, very cool stars. She's a staff writer at Rolling Stone.
Oh, she did Dua Lipa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last year.
Yeah. I find that this profile, it's so like tactile. It's like you are really in the room with her. You're like sort of smelling her perfume the whole time. And it feels very immersive in that way. And I think there's no greater gift she could have given us because Addison Rae has built an identity on being relatable, but nobody can actually relate to her because she has hundreds of thousands of followers.
And she's never been less relatable than right now, it feels
no.
like.
No.
This and, is
yeah.
wildly unrelatable.
Wildly unrelatable. And, you know, I feel like it was always like, it's like, how do you become friends with Kourtney Kardashian? Like, how did she do some of these things? And there just like always are those enigmas where it's like, wait, how is she at the Met? Like, how is she, how, wait, when did this, her and Charlie XCX were like best friends somehow and collaborators. But unfortunately for any haters out there, she sort of got all these things because people admired and respected her.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to hear
that.
I mean,
Charlie was the first one to really put her on in that way. It really just takes like one respected person to take you seriously.
I know.
And then it's all the way up from there. I remember when she got invited to the Met and it was like influencers are going to the Met. Yeah. Wow. It's really gone to the dogs.
Yeah. And now everyone's like gagged over all her red carpet looks.
I mean, there's no way she's not going this year.
Yeah. Oh my God. It would be a huge mistake. So that said, I think we should just dive in.
Let's go.
So it starts. I'm looking for a black Range Rover with the glittery pink license plate frame. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving and the passenger pickup at LAX is packed and lawless. When the SUV pulls up, Addison Rae is behind the wheel in a striped pinafore with nothing underneath it but black tape and two giant X's covering her nipples.
This is unbelievable.
I knew that you would have something to say.
This is unbelievable.
To the LAX passenger pickup.
Pulling up to the LAX passenger pickup in a striped pinafore with black tape over your nipples. First of all, to pick anyone up from LAX is a death wish. Secondly, to do so in a pinafore with nippled tape.
Yeah.
I have no words. I mean, we're going to get into it further in the next paragraph, but it's so incredibly calculated. It is Popstar 101. I attended the course. I got an A+.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you want costumes? I'll give you costumes.
You want a story? I have a story for you.
Yeah. You want sparkles? I've got those.
Yeah.
In droves.
It's true. I mean, I don't even pick up Chris from the airport.
Oh, I do.
I want to fuck around with all that.
Oh. Yeah, I know. It was Ray's idea to pick me up from the airport, and her car is as chaotic and ultra femme as her persona. There are Chanel lipsticks and full-size bottles of Ex Nihilo perfumes in the compartment beneath the touchscreen.
Okay, wait. This? Realistic.
Yeah.
This? I could understand.
Yeah.
This could be in anyone's car.
Yeah. I always have makeup down on the bottom of my footwell.
Please continue. What else is in her car?
Her back seat has at least one tutu, a wig, an embellished bra she found on Etsy, and a copy of Vanity Fair's October 1992 issue featuring a naked Madonna hanging off a pink pool floaty on the cover.
Pause. A 1992 Vanity Fair with Madonna on the cover.
Are you accusing her of merchandising her back seat?
Would I accuse Addison Rae of staging her back seat with a tutu, a wig, an embellished bra, and a 1992 copy of Vanity Fair? Well, I think that question really just answers itself, doesn't it?
Well, it goes on.
Okay.
The VIP pass from Charlie XCX's Brat release party last summer still sits in her car door, and beaded necklaces made by the songwriters who helped her on her upcoming debut hang around the rearview mirror. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? What do you mean you don't know? Because if your car was naturally that chaotic, right? Like if you just like had a bunch of shit in there, you would also have a bunch of shit in there. I don't know.
I mean, I have a piano in the backseat of my car right now. Did you know that?
For sure. So she would also have a piano in the backseat.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
She would have like, I don't know, McDonald's bags. She would have shopping. She would have all this stuff. You would not just have a perfectly strategically placed 30-year-old issue of Vanity Fair with your absolute idol on the cover who you keep referencing on the red carpet. Come on.
That's true. It's also, it's too few items.
Yes.
It's too few items for it to be like, sorry, I mean, you see my backseat. You saw my backseat.
I know your
backseat. No one could sit there.
No.
Nobody could sit there.
No.
Not a soul. Not one person could sit there.
You live out of that car.
There's a piano. There's vases. There's martini glasses. There's makeup. There's a gym bag.
I don't understand it.
No.
But I know that it's you, and I know that it's real.
Yeah, that's true. I would never be accused.
Of staging that.
It would be impossible to stage. It looks too bad.
Also, I have to ask you something.
What?
Now, I need a brief moment. Is your house always this clean? How is there never anything on the floor when I come
here? I always wonder when you're going to ask me that.
When do you do this?
You've never asked me it before.
I'm so surprised it's taking you this long. I clean before you come over every single time.
What?
4 years. 4 years, and you have never once asked me.
Yeah. I just thought you lived like this. Like, I just thought that you never put anything on the ground. And I was like, I can't reveal myself to be the little pig in the slop that I am. The next time I come over, if you clean it, I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs. Yeah. I need it raw. I need it exactly
raw?
How. Yeah, I'd like
no,
to see
No, I
it.
Can't handle that.
With me?
I have to be clear space, clear mind. It's like feng shui. Do you know what I mean?
It's insane. Like, I don't know how to communicate for the listener. Every time I come in here, the table is set. There are fresh flowers in a vase. Everything is put away. Like there's nothing on the ground. There's nothing even hanging over a chair. There's nothing around. Everything is perfectly in its place. There are no dishes in the sink. Sometimes I find a spoon in there. And on those days, I can breathe a little easier. But that's it.
I know.
Nothing on the kitchen counters. That's insane.
And you never asked.
I just thought that's how you lived. I thought this is what it always looked like.
No, there's been times where I've actually screamed at Chris. I mean, like, Ivan is coming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, but I did hear or read that there's something psychological that happens to specifically a woman's brain when you have a messy home, when you have a messy space. Something actually happens where you cannot focus, you cannot think. It has a psychological effect on you.
I mean, I find that to be true, and I do it every day.
You do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I used to pull things off the floor and, like, pull them on. Like, I really did. And now I cannot function. I really struggled to. So I would look at, like, her back seat would send me into a tailspin. I can be honest.
Yeah, I also, it extends to your car, because I go into your car. There's nothing. There's no signs of life in there. There's no receipts crumpled up on the ground.
I walk a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, I love it here. I absolutely love it here.
Oh my God, that's made my day.
Yeah, I love spending time here. I mean, I love your cats, you know that, but I really do.
Love
I really
you.
Do. Love you. Love you dearly.
Oh my God, what an earnest moment from us.
Yeah, I really mean it with my whole heart.
We rarely do that.
Yeah, it's so true.
Maybe it's because we're on camera now.
That could be it. But we kind of are. It's like we keep our, it's like how we're both really not affectionate couples in public. Like,
I'm feeling like a type of way about that recently.
Really?
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of affectionate couples, and I'm like reading a lot about it, that you like have to be affectionate to like make a relationship work, like long lasting sustainable couples who are killing it. And then when we read the Harry and Meghan profile, and it was like, they were so hot for each other. I felt like I needed to leave the room. I was like, is this what's supposed to happen?
You and I, like, without ever speaking of it, it's, like, not our philosophy.
No.
Like, if me, you, Steven, and Chris are going out on the town together, like, you wouldn't know who's with who.
No.
Like,
no.
You wouldn't be able to put the pieces together.
I found it so funny just now while you were on the phone to Steven, and you were like, okay, love you. And he was like, yeah, bye. Yeah. And then you were like, love you so much. And he was like, love ya. Love ya.
Love ya. Oh my God.
You pulling it out of him?
Yeah, got to. Got to.
You know that Chris, for a long time, I told you this, couldn't articulate the words. And so he'd be like, mm-mm. So I'd be like, love you. He'd be like, mm-mm. You know this, right?
Yeah. That's so crazy.
I know.
Oh my God. And like, don't get us wrong. I'm desperately in love with Steven. Absolutely. It's never been more true. But would I make out with him in public?
Oh my God.
Like, get on his lap.
Have you ever, like, this is, oh my God, this is such a not safe for work episode. Have you ever made out that hasn't, like, led to sex?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just had a make out session, then you just being like,
yeah.
Call it. That's time. That's time.
And that's my time.
That's my time. Then maybe you are one of these couples that.
No.
Make me feel bad about myself.
No. Certainly not. Also, because it's like, if we're choosing seats, like, I'm never, like, cozying up next to him. Like, I'm like sitting in an armchair across from him, you know? So
see, Chris and I love a side sit. We'll side sit. And
at a restaurant?
And yeah, and other couples.
Then you're one of the couples.
Yeah, other couples have commented on that to us. Oh, they were like, why do you side sit?
Oh my God.
And I think we like to be close, but we also like to look outwards at the exits just in case anyone comes in.
Unbelievable.
It's very Jack Reacher of us, I must
say. Yeah,
it's like, gotta be prepared for all scenarios
at all times.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're having a beautiful Valentine's Day meal.
anything could happen. I mean, God, have we not learned that over I mean this plane crash, like the fires, anything really could happen.
I know.
You've got to side sit.
You have to side sit for your safety.
It's also very intimate to sit across from someone and look in their eyes. I don't
know. Do you ever
like
reach across the table and hold hands?
Yeah, we do that sometimes.
I do that too. Yeah, okay, yeah, we're okay, actually okay, affectionate. Okay, okay, we're finding out.
Is that what that is? Is that what affection is?
That's what affection is.
Oh,
that's what affection is. Because if someone were to look at that, they would say, wow, that's a couple.
There's a lot of shoulds in relationships. There's so many shoulds.
Yeah.
How often should you be having sex? How often should you be making out? How often should you be going on dates? I feel like we're just absolutely overrun by shoulds.
Shoulds are incredibly destructive because they're completely confusing to the mind. They like have no connection to your desires. It's like, I want to hold hands is something actionable, something that your mind can comprehend. I should hold hands.
Yeah.
It means nothing. It inspires no action. It just makes you feel guilty.
That's the whole, that's the whole point.
It's the lack.
It's the lack of. Yeah, it's lack. You know that my best and possibly only asset is my hair.
Oh my God, we can't go anywhere without you getting compliments.
Only because of the Megastar flat iron from Noomi. I'm telling you, dude, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to throw some brands out. I used to be a GHD girl. I used to be a Harry Josh girl. I am only...
Chi?
What?
A Chi girl.
I used to be a Chi girl too.
Yeah, I know.
From now on, I'm only a Noomi girl. I'm only a Noomi Megastar flat iron girl. I'm telling you, it's the tourmaline technology. If you haven't heard of that, neither had I. It locks in moisture as it passes through your hair. So your hair doesn't get dry. It doesn't get fried. You can still control the heat.
And the infrared light strip prevents damage.
Oh, yeah.
Which is huge. So you can straighten as much as you want without having to worry about frying your ends.
This is an ad, but I'm being so genuine. This is such a good product.
Oh, and you're not the only one. I mean, it has 4.9 stars and 28,000 reviews.
28,000 You're in good company. I know that you have an old rusty straightener right now and you need an upgrade, and this is it. You can get 15% off the Megastar flat iron with the code UNCOVER. NUMEHair.com with the code UNCOVER.
Okay. Back to Addison.
How did we get so far off Addison?
I don't know. Well, she's in her little Range Rover and they're driving around.
Timing is everything, says Addison.
Yeah, yeah.
God, she's right. God, she's so right.
She is right. She's moved into a new house. She doesn't have anything on the walls but bras hanging from the lighting fixtures and a photo of Judy Garland on the wall. She's really leaning in. She's really leaning in. She's bringing kind of all the, like, the all-stars here. It's like, it's a lot of Marilyn Monroe, a lot of Madonna.
A lot of Britney.
Britney writes, "It wasn't long ago that Ray, 24, moved from Louisiana to Los Angeles solely off of the success of her TikTok page. She became so famous on the app that she has 88.5 million followers and is still the most followed person on it, despite having largely stepped away."
The most followed.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
No, don't worry. But that just, I'm only correcting because I have no idea who the most followed is if she's only the fifth.
Is it Charlie D'Amelio?
No, I don't think so. I think it's someone random. Is it that guy who would just like...
Cabby Lame.
Yeah, that, I wish I was joking. That's exactly who I thought
Charlie D'Amelio's number two though. To my credit. Mr. Beast, number three.
Do you know I've also interviewed Charlie? I've really got around these types.
You have...
Ho. I love Charlie D'Amelio.
Me too.
She was so nice.
I believe that. I'm happy for her.
She was nicer than Addison. But maybe Addison's changed.
Oh my God. Reading her from Phil. She was nicer than Addison, but maybe Addison's changed.
That's what...
Do you hear yourself?
That's my opinion.
No, and that's...
I can't be honest here.
I forget that other people can hear this. Do you know that?
I know.
And then someone will message me and go, oh my God, I can't believe about blah, 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 blah. And I go, where did you find out about that?
I know.
So she also is like a little bit of backstory, was one of the founding members of the Hype House. And if you weren't on TikTok in like 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
These beautiful girls were dancing the same dance, all of them doing the same dance.
Yeah.
To songs, to viral sounds.
Yeah. They weren't really like moving their feet. It was a lot of body rolling and arms swinging.
Isolated movements of the chest and hip.
Yes.
And we were all like, just could not get enough of it. And I don't know really why that is. Like, I still can't really understand. I think it'll take years for us to unravel, like, what about the TikTok dance?
I think it was so quick and it was so impressive. Like, it was just so digestible. And you could just watch and rewatch and rewatch.
Yeah, Quibi for the body.
Quibi for the body.
It was.
Oh my God. R.I.P. to Quibi. But it was like Chase Hudson, right?
Yeah.
Chase Hudson really plucked Addison out of obscurity because he like saw her growing and was like, come and move into the Hype House. That was like her big, big break. And I remember very clearly, I think it was Taylor Lorenz talking about meeting Addison when she profiled the Hype House and all the kids there.
And she was like really the first on the scene.
She was
like, we have to find out what's going on with these kids.
We have to go to the Hype House mansion and like work out what these kids are doing. And she talks about remembering Addison as being so on the pulse, coming up to her and being like, when's this story coming out? How are you framing it? And like just so on top of it. And the only one who was there following up.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's wanted this for so long.
I know. And she's known kind of that she's working towards a larger goal, which is why when others may have burned out, she continues on. And so what you've just discussed was her first big break.
Mm-hmm.
Her second big break sort of came when she came out at Charlie XCX's Brat DJ set at the Boiler Room.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, is that Addison Rae?
Wait, isn't it interesting that you have to have multiple big breaks now in this fame economy? Like one isn't enough to sustain you?
I mean, how many profiles have we done that start with the reintroduction of?
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah wants to reintroduce themselves.
Yes.
And that's what this is. It's like, rebrand. We're starting again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kim Kardashian's an actress now. Like, what's...
That woman will never stop pivoting.
You've
got to tip your hat.
I know.
Her reinventions are just unending.
And she throws her whole body into it.
Oh, yeah.
And Addison threw her whole body into the Boiler set. She came on and sang To Die For, a song that I credit Beatrice for.
It's one of the greatest bringing songs into of all my times. Life. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That EP is divine. I've been listening to it all day long in preparation for this episode. I've been listening to it. AR.
Yeah. If you haven't heard it, it's better than Aquamarine. It's better than anything she's released. Better. It's so good.
It is Hubba Bubba in the mouth.
It's Hubba Bubba.
It's oh my God, actually delicious.
Hubba Bubba in the mouth.
Yeah. It's like,
you know, it's not necessarily good for you.
No.
But it's everything you want to chew on.
And you're overwhelmed by how tasty it is.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, ooh, it's perfect. It's simple. It's nostalgic. There is everything you need.
And if someone asks you what you're eating, you don't necessarily want to say.
No.
It's Hubba Bubba.
No. And it came on when I was giving like a friend a ride. And I was like, ooh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what this is.
That's Hubba Bubba.
Don't worry about that.
Look away.
And she goes, wait, what is this? And I was like, it is AR. It's Addison Rae's thing. But it got her noticed by Charlie XCX. And so she came out in the set was
summer 2024.
So recently.
Yeah, I know.
That she came out and sang. And then everyone was like, wait, Addison Rae can sing for one. Like, not everyone was aware of the EP. People did not like it when it came out. All of this has happened in 1 year. Aquamarine, Diet Pepsi, performing at the Brat Tour. All in the span of a year.
I mean, what is, I think, the most wild part about her reinvention is that she went from, Brittany points out, this kind of like family friendly, cheeky, fun, PG-13 kind of influencer to this strange, campy goddess that no one can really like pin down or get their arms around. She's always in like in a tutu and Louboutins, like paperboy cap, and you're kind of like, what is this? What is the vision? I mean, she has an incredible creative director, Mel from Interview Magazine, I think, is also helping her.
And then a month after this performance at the Boiler Room set, Von Dutch happens, and her scream goes viral for good reason. So fun, so fantastic. There's like footage of them in the studio and her just like ripping. And it's fun. It's so fun. And that song is one of the best, I think, off the Brat album.
It is. Objectively one of the best songs.
Charlie XCX says, it's been fun to watch her evolve. Everything she does relates back to her art. Every item of clothing she wears, everything she says in a red carpet interview, everything she tweets, it's all part of the world building. Which I think is critical information. It's like, we don't want to make the same mistake we did with Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
I do think there's clearly something going on. She knows what she's doing. She knows what she's wearing. She knows what it is to pick the writer up from the airport with the 1992 Vanity Fair in the back. She's curating an image.
Yeah. I think my problem with it is that the image is so informed by nostalgia.
Yes.
And that is like a struggle for me. I wish it was kind of a little bit more new.
Yeah. It's referential.
It's so referential.
Yeah.
I mean, even her interviews on the red carpet, you know, I've sent you, which it can be occasionally tough to watch because she is very overexpressive.
Yeah.
But she will be like, it's Madonna tonight, it's Britney, it's Lana. It's like, this is who I'm doing. And I think what was so compelling about Lana, and I remember being a teen, I wonder how teens feel about Addison watching her now, but I remember being a teen watching Lana, and I was so incredibly compelled by her because I had actually never seen anything like it. She gripped me by the fucking throat.
I know.
And she was super referential. Like, I mean, but referential in a way that was so hybridic. Like, she was like, I'm gangster Nancy Sinatra. I am whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like she was cherry picking different personas from people of the past. But she wasn't doing kind of what Edison is doing, where she's kind of like, okay, I do want to be the next Britney Spears or the next Madonna.
Well, it's like how Lady Gaga wasn't referencing anyone. No. She was just like, was Lady Gaga. And yeah, I understand it's like an extreme example. Mm-hmm. And obviously she was, even in that, like there was Madonna and yeah. Lady Gaga, like, you know, the edgy, weird costumes or whatever. But
what's such an interesting example about Madonna and Lady Gaga is that they were furious about being compared. They hated it.
Yes, yes.
And you take someone like Edison, who all she wants to do is play Britney in the biopic. Like, yeah.
And she's like, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And Britney writes that. She says, the truth is that Ray has been doing her homework, studying her idols down to their smallest moves. And like her heroes, Madonna, Marilyn, Judy, Britney, she knows a big gamble can make for a bigger impact. Crossing over was, quote, always the plan, mm-hmm. she says. A couple of years ago, she stepped back from posting frequently to give her dreams a real chance. It was a risk, knowing that people don't want to see somebody try something new. So this was always on the mind. TikTok was just merely a means to get there. And she seized it. I mean, she gave it her all. She was posting 5 times a day. Like, it wasn't like she was half-assing.
She was
that.
Working.
She yeah, was yeah, working. Yeah. She was working.
And that I really, really respect. Like, yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Again, if we're just going to compare her to like a Lana type, like Lana fully created a narrative and got so much flack for it. Like being a upper middle class girl who moved into a trailer park, like that was creating a narrative.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, studying something about that. I don't know. It doesn't sit right for me. How do you feel about it?
It's the Scorpio in you.
It's the authenticity complex.
It's an authenticity
thing. It's the authenticity complex.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, but that's not.
But that's not
where's
you.
Where's you in it?
Where's you in it?
I know. I don't have the same like gut like.
Yeah, you don't.
Get off the stage.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying and I know what you mean. And
I know. I'm just like, I'm looking for exactly the kernel of truth.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not there.
Yeah. I think what frees me is that I don't need it from her. I am enjoying her in the dumbest way possible. I'm just like,
hubba bubba.
Hubba bubba. I'm hubba bubba. I'm like, hubba bubba. So fun.
I need to let this go. Like, I can fully put the onus on me. I can like put my little hat on of like idiot. Yeah. And I can be like, I can put my little idiot,
Ed Hardy idiot hat on.
My famous Ed Hardy idiot hat. And I can be like that. I just need to get over it. I'm a hater.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hater of her. I'm a hater of this concept.
Yeah.
And I need to get over it. Like, I just have to get over it because I have written for her music. I wish she would make more AR because I love it.
Yeah.
I just do struggle with the referential stuff. Like, I just can't get over it. And I need to. I got to.
You can smell when someone's just made a soup of other people's personalities.
Right.
And you're like.
And there's something so different to me, and I don't know why, about Tate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it's so different. I just feel like she is doing it from a more authentic place. I don't know why.
Well, she's leaning on what she does best.
Yes.
Versus trying to emulate what other people have done best.
Ooh.
I think.
That's a read.
I think so. It's like, she's like, I'm a goddamn dancer and I can dance on a stage and I can whip my hair.
Yep.
And that's what I'm going to be known for. And like, the looks aren't, you know, and she's also doing references, like she wore the Britney dress, the like sheer Britney lace.
Yeah,
you know, they're doing similar things, but it is different because Addison's doing it all the time. And as Charlie says, she credits her, like, she's world building. It's intentional. Mm-hmm. Every item is for a reason,
and it is more avant-garde. Like, she is doing it with an avant-garde lilt, which, I mean, look, Tate is now too. Her sports car video was beautifully done in that way. And I like, and not to compare pop stars, but we're going to compare pop stars to the end of time. It's all we know how to do. And all these girls are gunning for the same role. So
yeah.
Also. Yeah. I'm like thinking about like Sabrina Carpenter. That is something new. That is something totally new.
It is new. It is completely new. It's new and it's old.
It's
burlesque.
Up. It's yeah, but it's no one.
But it's no one.
Yeah.
You can't be like, oh, she's doing this.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, she's I Love Lucy. It's like, no, but there's something in there. Mm-hmm. It's on the mood board maybe, but you can't pin it.
Right. You can't put her in a box.
Yeah, yeah. Which I do appreciate and love. And I feel I love original ideas in that way. So.
Oh, God.
We're
at Barry's Boot Camp. We're
at Barry's Boot Camp.
Yes, yeah, we are.
Yeah. So, Ray.
Do you want to explain what Barry's Boot Camp is for the layman?
Well, let me just also clarify. At this point in the day.
Yeah.
Addison Rae has already been to Barry's Boot Camp. She's now on her second workout of the day. She's in a private trainer's boot camp. And that is what Britney joins her in doing. So she's already done berries. She's already done the full, which is hell on earth. Sprints. You're running sprints and then you're doing push-ups and weights in the middle of the room. It's like a red, dark room.
Yeah. It flashes different lights. Yeah. So it's like bright blue, bright red. Kill yourself.
Yeah. Which I was just hearing a story from someone that said that their instructor was yelling at this girl who was sprinting and got off her treadmill because she was like really out of breath. And he goes, when you're running, can you get off the ground? No, keep going. And she kept going. And then when the lights came up, everyone realized she was crying.
Oh my God.
It's not an environment that's, I would say, nurturing in nature.
No.
So she's already done that. And she went with, also, this is so chic, she went with Rosalia. Her and Rosalia went to Barry's that morning together. And now she's at a different workout class with Brittany.
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling with her weight loss and everything that she is turbo with
She's turbo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, there's like a clause here of like, she's not usually working out twice in one morning, but today she is. After class, Ray sort of like puts on her little denim button down with a bunch of Winnie the Pooh characters on it, grabs her little Prada bag, her New Orleans Saints cap. and then they go and have her usual morning routine, which is Beverly Hills juice and then blue bottle coffee, where she grabs an iced Nola, which are very tasty.
What's a Nola?
It has chicory in it as the sweetener. And it's like New Orleans style. So Cafe Dumont has chicory in the coffee.
Right.
And so Nola at Blue Bottle is like their New Orleans style latte. We sort of get back into her history. So she dropped out of Louisiana State and she was studying broadcast journalism.
She's one of us.
She's one of us.
She's one of us.
She's a woman on the camera.
But she wanted to cover sports, which is so interesting.
I know, of course.
She thought this was her way into the entertainment industry. And in a way that people wouldn't look at her and be like, oh, please, you're never going to be able to move to Hollywood.
Yeah. And at that time, she's like studying. She's a student. She downloaded TikTok and was like, all right, I'll make some videos. She was just like lip singing to songs. And then she posted one day that got 50,000 likes. And it's her like with like long waves, just like singing along to a song before a friend like grabs her hair and then pulls her off screen. And that was it. It was like the whole video. That was it. The videos just kept getting more likes. Just kept getting more popular. I found them. Everyone found them. Everyone was like, oh my God, she's fun to look at.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, like huge brands were reaching out. And like TikTok is the place. Like everyone's like has a TikTok strategy. Musicians are being discovered on TikTok. L'Oreal's reaching out and are like, we need you. We want you. And then at that point, also college is not really working out. She's not like loving it at all. She also failed to make Louisiana State's Tiger Girls dance team, which was a lifelong dream of hers.
That's brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rough.
She's been dancing competitively since she was six. And so she didn't make it. And she says, I had to really reassess my goals, which is so funny. Some like, you know, those early heartbreaks.
I did hear a quote from her in an early interview where she said something to the effect of, I thought my life was over.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
When she didn't make the dance team at 18.
At a college that ends in 4 years.
Yeah.
That you can't dance after you leave. They don't encourage that.
It's like Footloose. It's like you can't dance
You
here.
Can't. No. No more.
No it's more
done.
Dancing.
It's done. Get off the stage. Black Swan style. And all that was 2018. And then by 2019, she had 1 million followers on the app.
It's so nuts.
It was so fast. And so then the hype house happens. Charli D'Amelio's there. Dixie D'Amelio's there. Chase Hudson. They were all either dating or feuding. She was dating this guy named Bryce Hall for a while.
Crazy.
Who's also big and now has turned into like a big MAGA kid.
Yeah.
And sad.
Looks nothing like he used to look like. It's wild to see how actually. They grow up. Oh, you should look him up.
Well, they were all like prepubescent. Exactly. So many of them. Like they hadn't gone through second puberty yet.
Yeah, of course.
And so she says, it felt like I was dropped in the middle of the Truman Show. And the crazy part of all of this is like her parents like dropped her off. It's like she like dropped out of college and her parents were like, all right, like here you are at the hype house. And then they went like back to Louisiana and were sort of like, all right, she's on her own.
It's so nuts.
Yeah. And somehow that was okay. I mean, they had some amazing, glamorous, wonderful times. I'm sure it was fun as hell. Also, I'm sure it was dramatic as hell because you had a bunch of like 18-year-olds living alone for the very first time in this house. And they were like making content all day long. I can't imagine.
Oh my God.
I cannot fathom.
No, you have to just churn and burn.
Yeah.
Just keep on going.
Yeah. But they're like, they're going to the Bahamas. They're going to New York. They're like doing all these fabulous things.
Right.
They're getting brand deals.
And like music was always on the mind. That's what she always wanted to do.
Yeah.
In 2021, she dropped her first single, which I didn't realize was produced by Benny Blanco. That is so wild.
Yeah.
He co-wrote and produced a single with her, Obsessed. I loved that song.
I loved that song.
She was just totally burned by the video and the terrible choreography and styling. It's what fucked it.
No.
She got ridiculed.
Absolutely. Yeah, ridiculed. Yeah. People hated. People were like, this is.
Yes, yes. It was widely panned. One critic writing that she should stick to lip syncing, and viral posts just reveled in her failure on TikTok. I feel so sorry for her.
I know.
She says, reflecting on it now, that she thinks there's room for constructive criticism. A diplomatic take, but it almost wasn't even about the song. It was about me doing it, which is, she's so right. Like the song could have been put out by anyone and we would have loved it.
We would have loved it.
We would have loved it.
For sure. The lyrics are, I'm obsessed with me as much as you.
I mean, it's good though.
It's so fabulous.
Good. It's fabulous.
That's what you want in a pop song.
And it's like, I'd wear my hair like waves on the beach.
Yeah. It's perfect.
I'm perfect. You're always wearing your hair like waves on the beach.
I do. I do. I have no other choice. I have no other choice.
It's always waves on the beach.
I know. I'll blow it out for next time or something.
Okay, perfect.
And she stands by it. She says, I still think that song's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
But yeah, there was so much online hate at that time. I remember she was getting roasted for teaching Jimmy Fallon TikTok dances. And
oh my God. And that video we will be posting.
Yeah.
I have it saved already. It's
but one that she taught him was like by a black creator and she didn't credit them, and it was just a whole thing. Like it was just like waves and waves of vitriol against Addison Rae.
Yeah.
And she said, I had to rethink everything. How am I going to get to a place where on my own I feel like I can do this and feel confident in it and fully deliver what I feel like is the best version of this?
And I mean, there were small successes. She was also in He's All That, the Netflix movie, which from that she signed a multi-million-dollar multi-picture deal with Netflix. So there are movies coming out. There are some Addison movies in the chamber ready to go. And at this point, they finish the Ice Nolas and then they go to Jones on Third for a meal.
Post-workout meal of scrambled eggs and tuna salad. So she's eating. Thank God.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. And then Charlie comes in to kind of talk about that spark that she felt the first time she met Rae and like the first impression she got, which they were in a West Hollywood studio recording, and Charlie says, she burst into the room in Ugg boots and hot pants after parking her pink Tesla in the driveway and exclaimed, boys are stupid. Immediately was like, wait, we should write a song about that. I know that sounds simple and maybe silly to some people, but to me that was such a sign of instinct and fearlessness. I mean, honestly, I get what she's saying in that you can tell when someone is uncomfortable in a space.
Yes.
Or not being themselves or nervous. And I think that's probably what Kourtney Kardashian saw in her too, of like her ability to just like be comfortable in any room.
Right.
And we learned that came from her childhood. She like moved around a lot.
That friendship is so wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And she had a brutal episode on the Kardashians. They were not, the rest of the Kardashians were not as warm.
No.
Not
at
all.
Why are you here?
Why are you
19 year old with a 45 year old friend.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was unbelievably strange.
Yeah. Yeah. And then disaster struck when in 2022, songs of hers that were recorded but unreleased leaked. Britney writes, something strange happened. Those rough demos began to go viral, and not just in an ephemeral TikTok kind of way. People began begging for Rae to release them. Charlie was begging to be on them.
And they are incredible.
They
to die for. It's one of the best songs
I've ever heard.
I know.
Multiple critics called the songs flawless. And she got a lot
Get out. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. No way.
And others compared her to Britney Spears. People were like, it's Britney. She's back. Rae says, I'm not super religious, but I am spiritual. I think everything happened for a reason. Thank God the songs leaked.
Wow.
And it's true.
Her saving grace was actually the Columbia CEO who she met through her boyfriend, Omer Fedi. I don't know if you're super familiar with him.
No.
I'm not, but he's a really well-known producer. Mm-hmm. I love that she's kind of with a guy who's low-key.
Yeah.
And their relationship has been low-key for so long.
I know. I couldn't take it if she was dating like Noah Centineo.
No, absolutely.
Imagine.
And she wouldn't be here if she was.
I know.
She wouldn't be at this point.
Yeah.
But she just like mood boarded her vibes for him.
Yeah.
She had no music to play at that point. So it was all about trust. She was like, sign me on vibes. And I guess he did.
He did.
Yeah.
He was like, all right. Yeah. The mood board was good enough.
Yes. Yes. She's songwriting all the time.
Yeah.
I love this quote about her like meeting two songwriters in LA. She showed up to the studio in pink pleaser pumps, leather pants, and a sequin belt. And her quote is, you look good, you feel good, you do good.
True.
That is fucking true. And I think LA like beats that out of you, dude.
I know.
It beats you into activewear. It really does. It beats you into comfort.
I'm done. I'm not wearing leggings.
I know. I wear leggings fucking constantly now. And you know me. I used to be like, look city.
I know. And now she teased new music. And that was Aquamarine. That was Diet Pepsi. That was her first Hot 100 was Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, my God, I didn't have an aux cord for a while. So I was just listening to the radio and that song is playing every minute of the day.
Yeah, why is it so radio friendly? It's so surprising.
I know. It is. I think it's because there's no cuss words in it. So it's just like, they can just...
Yeah, it is kind of airwormy, right?
And like Aquamarine not playing on the radio, Diet Pepsi playing every 2 minutes.
Yeah, interesting.
Constantly. I listen to that song more than any other song, probably. About Aquamarine, she said, the word is so beautiful and the color is so gorgeous. And I was like, how can I make a song that contextualizes that feeling? I love an intellect.
And I think people like want to be on the right side of history here.
Yeah.
Like they see her on the rise. They think she is this like campy, exciting, niche talent. She's doing something different that they haven't seen before. And they want to be a part of it.
Yeah. And I am very jealous that Britney clearly got to like drive around and listen to the new album, like the full album.
I mean, I can't believe she made her do a workout class, though.
In a boot camp at that. It's like, do a yoga class. Do something that's like pleasant. Not something
that... berries. I'm trying to distill this profile overall. Like Britney goes on to say, there's no shortage of things Edison loves. She says things like, I love a yogurt for breakfast. She's effusive about everything. Small dogs, candy, shopping, having stuff, Hollywood, every song we hear, a Christmas tree adorned with sea turtles.
It's giving Aquamarine, no? Yeah. I think she's like a true optimist.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think that where her and I would be able to hold hands is the like plastic bag blowing in the wind.
Right.
Of like, have you ever seen something more gorgeous than that flower coming out of the sidewalk crack?
But it's totally like she is personified. Like she wants to be a persona. She says, I think glamour is everything. She wants to be like prim and poised because Marilyn Monroe never said y'all.
Yeah.
That's why she's completely dropped her southern accent.
That part is... Calculated is such a tough word, but that part is intentional.
Yeah.
Like she's making intentional choices. She's not just pointing things out and being like, you know, isn't the rain amazing? She's also like, and now I'm going to change the way I speak. And then she also does claim at one point that she does not call the paparazzi on herself, which I think we can all agree is not true.
Oh my God, that is an outright lie.
Yeah, that's a true lie.
I mean, she went and picked up Britney Spears's book and just was reading halfway through it when the paparazzi caught her. Like, come on.
Come on. And like some of the looks that she's stepping out in. I mean, it's like, I've never seen her in a legging. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I've never.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And I got to believe that's what she's wearing to Barry's. So.
No. It's intentional.
Yeah.
Is the word.
Yeah. She talks a bit sort of about like her growing up. And I think it makes so much sense when you contextualize it in this way. For one, dancing clearly is something that's special to her. It's like a way for her to like get back in her body, a way to like have control. And when life was chaotic, she says, performing and using my body was a tool, something that I could control. Her parents sort of they broke up. They were unmarried when she was born. They broke up. Then they got back together. They had two weddings, two divorces all over the last like 20 years.
It's her parents' love story. It's like nothing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And she ended up moving a ton because of it. Like she was always in a new school, always doing something, which I really think makes so much sense now. It's like she has a toolkit at her disposal of like, I'm able to be in any room.
A new identity at any point in time.
I can talk to anybody. I can sort of assimilate into any group, whether it's like the Kardashian institution or a like sick producer that like, you know, wants me to give him like cool references to, you know,
old
movies.
She's adapting.
She's a chameleon.
Yeah.
And I think that's why everyone has something nice to say about her. It's like everyone is surprised and delighted. And then when she got famous, she sort of like brought her parents in.
Yeah. And this is the problem.
They were also that
her parents are very gorgeous. Like specifically her mom is so beautiful. And the family dynamic imploded almost immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, their marriage fell apart publicly. The tabloids and TikTok were posting all these like salacious stories. And she stayed silent about the drama, but she unfollowed both her parents, and she was just kind of like, I mean, she was felt a lot of guilt about what happened and started working with a therapist. It's really unfortunate how her parents just kind of took a nosedive.
Yeah, I know. And I think now she's followed back her mom, but not her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also just loves love. She's like, the Libra in me is a hopeless romantic. Mm-hmm. She protects her relationships, though, fiercely. I mean, she still isn't public about her relationship with Omar, really. She's very guarded about it. And most of that is kind of, I think, PTSD from Bryce.
Dating live on
TikTok. Bryce. And she wouldn't talk to me about it, obviously, when I interviewed her and she was with him at the time. She says now, I think he cheated on me.
Yeah.
He says he didn't. Crazy to put that in print.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah. I'm sure. God, I am.
The relationship with Bryce was a shit show. He was vocal about everything and it was a mess.
But she's sort of forgiven him, which is good of her. She's like, you know, I'm not going to be like mad about this. Yeah. Still.
We were young, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah. Brittany writes, Ray doesn't like to dwell on these memories. She's not big on sadness, especially in her work.
Her saying she's not big on sadness. I know. Well, is this the funniest thing.
This quote, she says, I applaud people that can do that. Sitting with your emotions is difficult. I would actually be surprised if one day I write a really sad song because I just can't even imagine it.
That is one of the funniest quotes I think we've ever read.
I agree completely.
On this podcast.
I agree completely.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine being
sad. I can't
sad.
Even imagine
Not
that.
Even for a moment.
Not even for a moment. Not even as just like an experiment. A little teardrops on my guitar. A little lucky, you know?
It's unreal.
It is. It is.
So they drive out to Malibu and the sun's setting. They're spreading a full picnic from Erewhon.
Yeah.
Just by themselves, a full empty beach. And then this man walks over. He's 35 and he's fully nude. Talk about bookending a perfect episode, my love.
Oh my God. And we were like, this is going to be a bad one. So silly.
Talk about bookending. A fully nude man walks over and goes, is this a nude beach? Edison goes, you look like you're having fun. Yeah. God, she never turns off. She's so flirty. She's so fun. She's so on at all times.
Yeah.
When he's out of earshot, Ray informs me that this is definitely not a nude beach. Inspired nonetheless, she strips off her blue silk button down to let her black lace bustier air out. It would be so my luck if I took off all my clothes right now, but there would be paparazzi out here. Don't you think if I called paparazzi, I would look better in all these photos, she says. Shut the fuck up.
Just don't talk about it. You don't have to deny.
No, you don't have to deny.
Just don't bring it up.
I mean, Charlie literally put it in a song. She's like, we all call the paparazzi. Why do we pretend that we don't?
Yeah, I know. I think it's like people get a thrill out of this kind of lying. And then she also clears up a couple other things. She's like, I'm not on cocaine. I have ADHD.
That's another thing I don't think you need to say. Just don't even put cocaine in the equation.
Yeah. That's so true. It is. It's like she's she's just like trying to be upfront.
Yeah.
We also get a quote from Aubrey Plaza in here.
Nuts.
Which so amazing. And she worked with Aubrey Plaza when they were shooting Animal Friends. They hit it off immediately. What Dan Levy has to say about her, he was also in the film, is the amazing thing about Addison is that where most people's ego is, she just has creativity and curiosity.
Okay.
I mean, she got signed on a mood board.
Right.
So there's ideas there.
I mean, yeah, that's a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yep.
And we've been there. You know, they share like a funny anecdote about like, yeah, the cast went to go play poker at like a Bulgarian casino because that's where they were shooting it. And like, of course, she like cozied up to like the professional poker player. And then like he won her $1,000.
Oh, I really want to like her so badly. I know. This profile is making it really hard. I think like Charlie is right in calling her a project manager. I think that's a perfect description of what she is.
Yeah.
She is absolutely like a visionary in that way of like project managing her own artist project, which is herself. These kind of stories of like, I don't know, the just kind of like charmed life of it all is like really, really tough. And then like the unexamined life, like Emma Chamberlain, who like this is so fresh in my mind just because I interviewed her, who is just so incredibly introspective. And I just connect to that so deeply.
Yeah.
Because that is just who I would be if I was in this position. It's so absent in her that I'm just like, I just struggle with it. I think that's what it is. Like, oh, I just like made friends with the poker player and won $1,000. Hee hee hee.
Yeah.
I don't feel sadness. Hee hee hee. It's kind of like that.
Well, it also is what I'm about to say is not going to help because okay. she's like, then she's like, I don't want to talk about myself anymore. And so she asked Brittany, like, what kind of animal would you be? Would you ever be a nun? Do you think Rihanna's going to release more music?
There is an immaturity I feel that you're picking up
yeah,
on.
Yeah, maybe. Do you know what? Maybe it's just that. I think it was the immaturity that, like, I bristled at originally. You know that she was the only person who skipped a question. Right.
That just grated me. But what I respect is her work ethic.
Yeah.
And that's honestly how we leave it.
Yeah.
They go for a walk. They talk about the upcoming TikTok ban, which we all know is a scam. Mm-hmm. And they leave it on her work ethic. They leave it on the fact that she wants to change people's minds.
Yeah. Yeah. She says, TikTok definitely gave me a lot of things, so it would be really sad to see it go. But hopefully the things that I create and put out surpass that platform. She wants more movies, more songs, you know, she wants to headline shows. And Brittany writes, all she can hope is that everything she does next will make people feel free and get them to dance. And that she'll continue to change minds along the way. I won't beg for it, Addison says. I'll work for it.
Yeah. All right. And that's what I really respect.
Yeah.
That's what I respect.
I respect that too.
Yeah. The project manager quote, I think, is the most accurate.
Yeah.
More than anything else. If we're going to put a title on her, I think that's it.
Project manager.
Yeah. She is a project. She's got multiple creative directors.
Yeah.
She's got a mentor. She has producers. She is the project.
She's acting. She has
people out the wazoo. She's got a team.
Yeah. She does have a team. Mm-hmm. It's actually crazy how many people she could fill a room with.
Right.
That's on her team.
Like if you just strip all those people away, who is she?
Yeah.
A girl like dancing?
Yeah.
And that's not nothing.
No. But it is interesting what she's been able to build because she was a girl dancing to other people's songs for the first half mm-hmm. of all this. Last year was the first year that she performed publicly as a singer.
What I think is missing in here, I mean, she has a full beauty brand that wasn't mentioned. There's a full makeup brand that wasn't mentioned in here. There's been a lot of ventures that, you know, we've overlooked. But there's a lot of influencers that want to become celebrities and celebrities that want to become influencers.
Every year, like, you might strike and it might work, it might not.
Influencers are trying to become less and less relatable and more traditional. Like, they're trying to put the barrier up after for so long being so accessible. And celebrities are trying to become more accessible.
Yeah.
And that's really what's happening.
Yeah.
And she's a prime example of that. She wants to become Madonna and Britney and these superstar idols after giving so much of herself in these little vignettes 5 times a day.
Like, here's my mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can you conjure the mom of a celebrity in your mind right now? No.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's by design.
I think she's going to have to sit at some point. Just the sadness quote is really echoing in my mind. Like, she's going to have to sit and reckon one day. I don't know when that day is going to come, but it's coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Even the 2 workouts, even the Barry's.
Yeah.
That day is coming.
There are some little, we did a profile recently that had all this where it was like, it was all laid out there.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be.
There are seeds. Yeah.
Here that could grow to be some rotten little flowers.
Yeah. There's like, it feels like there's bad shit here.
To juxtapose the, like, her parents' public divorce, the family's disillusion, like, doesn't follow her dad, moved around a lot all through childhood, like, mm-hmm. to, like, I've never been sad. Like, I actually don't know what that's like. I couldn't imagine writing a sad song.
I mean, that's real dissonance.
Yeah.
And she's actively choosing to ignore it.
Well, sadness isn't really part of the brand, is it? You can't wear pink pleaser heels and cry at the same time.
No, and say boys are stupid.
Yeah, it's way more fun. That one's way more fun.
Exactly. But like, what happens when the fun stops? Like, what happens when you get off the Ferris wheel?
What happens when the Hubba Bubba loses its flavor?
Yeah, exactly.
And that happens quick.
It does. It happens quicker than you expect.
Yeah.
It gets chewy and dry.
Yeah.
And then you have to just kind of deal with this, like,
The wreckage. Yeah.
And spit it out and start over. Yeah. It scares me though, because 24, you're on the cusp. You're on the cusp of a lot of it.
And 24 also, I feel, is the year that you're like, it's so random, but I do have everything figured out.
Yes.
And I'm sad for my older peers
that
seem to be falling apart.
100%.
And then you become them.
Oh, yeah.
But like, you have to fall apart to come together. But then when you do, it's far more authentic. It's like far more genuine.
Like if you think about the Dua Lipa profile that we read and she was like 28, right?
Yeah.
She was struggling a lot more than this.
Yes.
She was openly, actively going through it in a much more real way than this.
Yeah.
And like she's far more established. The no reckoning always comes.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Yeah. No matter how beautiful, no matter how rich, no matter how famous, no matter how hot your boyfriend is.
Yeah.
It comes.
It does.
In the wee hours of the morn, the nude man comes knocking.
That's what we leave you with.
The nude man.
At the door. And he's knocking.
No.
Are you going to answer it? We cut to black.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I really thought this was uplifting and fun and then we were going to leave on an uplifting and fun note.
I think we are.
Okay, we are.
Are we not?
No, no, we are being
fun. No, we are.
This is super, super fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when we say it, it's true.
Housekeeping? Anything to add?
Subscribe.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes.
Gift a subscription to your pop cultural friend for her birthday.
Oh, that's good.
If you got any Aquariuses in your life,
100%.
They need a little
love.
A little love. A little back down to earth. Those aliens.
5 stars, please.
Yeah.
Please.
And
share this with a friend.
And share this with a friend.
We love you so much.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.